The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Are we in a Christmas mood?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel very festive. The energy doesn't feel very upbeat.
I just finished playing you Jingle Bells Glockenspiel. How much more Christmassy could it be?
I didn't recognize the song.
Fuck you.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, it's our Christmas show and time for a holiday tradition. Paula and I have picked out a movie to review. Tonight, we examine Gremlins to let you know if you should see the new film, Wonder Woman 1984. Plus, Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hall team up for another group report. This time, for Christmas, they'll dig into the North Pole. It's the Burns Hall Report, your definitive guide to information that is not definitive. I'm Adam Felber, the man who every week tries to keep conversational gremlins from infecting this show by keeping a tight lid on our topical mogwais. And now, please welcome the Wonder Woman of our podcast, who throws every topical gremlin into the deep end of the pool where they reproduce at will, Paula Poundstone.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
This is so festive.
Santa? Santa, is that you?
Have you been a good girl, Paula Poundstone?
I've been fantastic. So the last Christmas dinner that I had with my
before
parents.
Before I let you do that, Paula.
Oh.
Don't you want to welcome a band? Somebody's going to be on the naughty list.
I do, Santa. Thank you.
Santa heard a major fuck up there.
Thank you, Santa. And pardon me. Hey, it's me, Paul Poundstone. Hi, Adam. And thanks to tonight's house band. Returning champion on viola, Kristen Lejeune of the Lejeunes. She's from Lejeune. It's Mrs. Lejeune's youngest.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay. I'm sorry. You were saying, Paula, something about gifts.
No, because, all right. So the last time that I had dinner with, my parents and their offspring, it was with our old neighbors, the Rosses. I was a young adult. I mean, I might have been maybe 18, something like that.
Okay.
And the Rosses were very religious. And so we said grace at the beginning of the meal. And everyone had, bowed their head to say the grace. And before, in that moment of silence, just before Mr. Ross began the prayer, my mother went, "Paula, be quiet." And I wasn't saying anything. It was just such a sort of knee-jerk response. That's just how she addressed everything with, "Paula, be quiet." Just everything, she said that. And so there was this moment of silence, and she felt, and I think she felt like I was somehow going to fuck it up or something. Like I was going to, like just before Mr. Ross could begin the prayer, I was going to leap in with like a knock-knock joke or something. Something like that. Bonnie, didn't someone say on Facebook that they were just sick of the knock-knock jokes?
Well, most people said they loved the knock-knock jokes. But
that's not what I asked you.
No, I needed to preface it because most people said they really loved the knock-knock jokes. But one guy said that he loved listening to our show while he was working out. And will we please stop telling the knock-knock jokes, because that was one part that he wasn't enjoying while he was working out. And he would think to himself, could they just get through the knock-knock jokes? And then he said, "Even though I love you, Bonnie."
You know what? I just want to say to that guy, your workout is not our responsibility. But what I said to you, Bonnie, wasn't there someone on Facebook who said, could you guys stop with the knock-knock jokes? And you said, well, most people said blah, 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 which made me really think, have you ever taken the written DMV test?
Well, why would you ask that? I don't get the connection. Why would you ask that?
I just don't see how you could get through it. You know, it would say like, you know, do you stop at the red light? You know, do you drive through the red light? Do you increase your speed at the red light? And you would say, well, most people, it was such a simple and direct question. Wasn't there a guy who said that?
No, I wanted to make myself look good.
Oh, good thinking.
Because I was the one telling the knock-knock jokes.
True enough.
And people liked them. So I wanted to throw in, but then he said he liked me. So
I
wanted to come off well in the story.
No, that's good. You really have come off well.
All right. You know, Paula, we're starting a new tradition this year. I'm pretty excited about it.
What is it?
Well, we're going to do our first ever Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone Secret Santa Gift Exchange.
Oh, right. I almost forgot.
Yeah,
it's
going to be really fun. Here's what we decided to do. We've all secretly gone out and bought someone else a gift, and now we're just going to take turns and present that person with the gift that we bought them.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Paula?
Yeah, I am.
It sounds like you might have completely forgotten this. Do you need a minute to run outside for a second?
I'm just looking around the room to see what I can wrap. Okay.
All right,
yeah,
we won't start with you, Paula.
Oh,
we won't
that's
start
good.
With you.
We'll get... That's good. How could I have forgotten? I'm so sorry.
This is the weirdest thing. Okay, so in that case, let's go to Sherman Oaks, California.
No,
we'll go to Tony and Anita Hall.
You start.
You have to start.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'll start. This is... Nobody thought of anything, did they?
No, I have
all right,
something.
Here's my...
I just don't want to start.
Here's my gift, all right?
Yeah.
I'll start. Bonnie Burns, I chose you as my Secret Santa recipient. And if you open the package in front of you, you'll see... The first issue, I bought you 3 magazine subscriptions. If you open that package, you'll see.
Let me
see. You now are a subscriber to Popular Crinkles, Sonic Annoyance Quarterly, and Extraneous Noise Aficionado.
Which
is a great one. You might see the cover story there is 7 food and mouth sounds guaranteed to drive him mad. So you'll be receiving those every month this year, except for Sonic and Orange Quarterly, which obviously comes out 4 times a year.
That is so nice of you.
That's a beautiful gift.
Wow. You're welcome, Bonnie.
That was
Merry
really
Christmas.
Nice of you to think of me. Thank you.
You're welcome, Crinkle. We love you. Thanks so much.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Tony's
Tony Anita Hall in Sherman Oaks, California. Who is your Secret Santa recipient, and what did you get them?
Well, it's awkward because I also chose Bonnie. But
what?
Well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Mine's gonna, okay. I don't know if it's been delivered. It's rather large, so I hope you have a place for it. I know you love the Seahawks, so I got you life-size cutouts of all the Seahawks shirtless, because I also know you like their bodies. So I thought it's something to go with the lubricant and nipplegasms. Merry Christmas.
Oh
my God.
Oh,
that is so cool.
Wow.
And I'm putting it in my living room where you guys know that I still sleep on the couch and don't go up to the bedroom. That is the coolest. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's a really nice gift, Tony. It's a very
really nice
gift that I never want to see in person.
I'll post photographs.
You know, I forgot that I mailed it already, and I don't. It says right on it, don't open till Christmas. So you probably haven't opened it yet, Bonnie. But
who?
I got you.
You?
Bonnie. I got Bonnie. Oh my gosh! Did we all do Bonnie?
I think we all did Bonnie.
Oh,
we could have planned
heaven's
this better.
Sakes.
I'm so embarrassed, you guys.
I got you. Well, it's a gift. It's a gift basket. I got you a bag of rice because, you know, tough times. But the amazing thing about the rice is that on each grain of rice, I've written with a teeny pen, "Do not put in your ear."
That's really nice.
Yeah, and on the off chance that you don't read it, I also got you an ear, Frida.
Oh, an ear, Frida. Not as popular an item as the nose, Frida, or the butt, Frida, but you know, in Bonnie's case, it could be coming very handy.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be careful with it, of course, but yeah. And, you know, and I also got you a copy of that new book, Say What?
Well, I think we've all learned a valuable lesson about why they actually draw names out of a hat for Secret Santa usually, because...
yeah, no, I thought it was... Oh, my God. We are not good at, like, office celebrations, especially since the pandemic. You know, I want the listeners to know that, you know, a lot of podcasts, they take Christmas off, but not us. We wanted you guys to have, you know, it's so depressing over the holidays when, like, the mail doesn't come on some days. And I just, we wanted to be there for you. As much as we could, but this holiday stuff, we're not good at it as a company, I think.
No, we blew the Thanksgiving potluck, and now we've blown Secret Santa because the only person to get a present was Bonnie. However, I do want to point out that we still haven't gone around the horn to Bonnie Burns. So unless she went ahead and bought herself a present, somebody else is getting the Christmas present. So at least we have that going for us. Bonnie, what did you get, and for whom?
Okay, I thought you guys said I was supposed to get one for somebody named Cynthia.
Yes.
What? So
no.
When I was on Chewy,
Bonnie, we don't
the
work.
Cat litter,
we don't work with anyone named Cynthia.
No, I thought you said something about get a gift for. There was somebody named Cynthia.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah,
what's
but,
in
so
your
I was
ear?
On Chewy, and I ordered like a dog toy.
We're
you ordered
small
a dog toy for some random person named Cynthia?
Yeah.
It's this thing, Jolly Ball, and it's indestructible.
We're a small enough organization that we don't have. There's like nobody on the third floor that we haven't met yet. It's just us.
Wait a second. Didn't you guys say get a gift for Cynthia?
I didn't say
and Bonnie
it.
Will get a gift
no.
for Cynthia?
Paula might have said that one that a gift idea might be a forsythia.
No.
I could have sworn that's what you said.
And well, you got her a dog toy?
No, because...
All right. Well, Cynthia, if you're out there, enjoy your dog toy.
It's indestructible. It's indestructible.
Well... You know what?
Tell
like
you
the
what.
Who's in Whoville, we don't need gifts to welcome Christmas to our place. So, you know, congratulations,
wahoo, wahoo,
Cynthia.
Wahoo, wahoo.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes
no,
Santa Claus.
Here's something I know about myself after years of watching and of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas and also reading it to my children. I am really fucking disappointed when they wake up in the morning and there are no presents. And I don't think going outside and holding hands and singing in a circle is in any way the same thing. I just...
I agree with you. I just watched it with my daughter, and she gave me this look when they woke up, like, what's the matter with these people?
Yeah.
I think Vivi was hoping for that it would, right after that, become like a Rambo-style revenge flick.
Yeah, no, you know what?
Like one of the Who's just straps on a lot of ammunition and heads up the mountain.
Yeah, they all get torches. Come on, let's get that prick bastard. Yeah. Let's get our...
Merry Christmas to you, Grinch. Blam, 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 blam.
Let's get our Wahoo Winklers back. Come on.
You know, I was just kidding. I got you guys all a $5,000 bonus check.
Wow.
Out of Paulus. Out of Paulus account.
No, that's fantastic. And it really explains.
Right, and I got you a pony.
Yeah. And you know what? I heard some hoof steps outside earlier. No, that's great that you got us all bonus checks from my account. That's fantastic. And that certainly explains why my card was rejected earlier today.
I always use that we when I'm talking to people. I go, we'd really like to comp you two tickets. We really wish that you would blah, blah, blah.
Well, in lieu of this withdrawal from my account, I feel like an asshole, but can I have some of that rice back?
Wait, I have to go read something on a green.
It's got ink on it.
It doesn't matter. You boil it. It comes off. It's all right.
Oh, my
God. The ink is good for you. It's edible ink.
I promise everybody we'll have this whole thing fixed by next Christmas. All right. G.K. Chesterton wrote, Christmas is built upon a beautiful and intentional paradox that the birth of the homeless should be celebrated in every home. We'll celebrate Christmas by talking about Gremlins next on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hey, everybody. As longtime listeners know, when Helix Mattresses first started sponsoring our show, Bonnie Burns somehow got the drop on me and made off with the first mattress. But in the intervening years, I have gotten myself a Helix mattress. I've had it for almost a year now, and it has improved my sleep. It has improved my life. I could not be happier. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, which I have, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, which is a mattress designed just for big and tall sleepers, and they even have mattresses made just for kids. Now, if you're like me and you were a little nervous about trying it online, or like Paula, who was screaming in fear of buying a mattress online, don't be. The Helix Sleep Quiz takes into account your individual sleep preference to match you and your partner with the perfect mattress. I took the quiz and I ended up with the great mattress for a side sleeper, the Helix Midnight Lux. Take my word for it, everybody. The Helix Midnight Lux.
Oh, don't want to take Adam's word for it. I don't blame you. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Paula, I invited you over, but you fell asleep. helixsleep.com/Paula, and if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey guys, it's Adam, and tonight is January 3rd, and I am picking Giannis Antetokounmpo to score less than 36 points and James Harden to score more than 16. Why? Because I like beards. Am I putting a lot of money on this? I am not, because I'm not really a gambler, but I am having a lot of fun with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, who I would lose to, you pick more or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in, or in my case, not. So I don't bet a lot.
With the basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that include two or more players from different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron James and Travis Kelce had a 10.5 combo of 3 points made plus receptions. Do I get that? Kind of a little bit. Prize Picks even offers a reboot policy so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, that player is rebooted. So, it's like an insurance policy. Go to prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. And then drop by and see how I did with the Greek Freak and Harden again on January 3rd. My hopes are not that high. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
On this day in unremarkable history, Jesus' neighbors said, "Jesus, Mary and Joseph." No, not you. It's an expression.
Thank you, house band Kristen Lejeune. Paula, we have a tradition here. Around the holiday times is when we really like to review movies to let you know whether you should see a movie that's about to come out in the theaters or for home video. And this year, we have decided to review Gremlins.
That's right. Because
can you explain that to our listeners, please?
Because there's a release of the movie Wonder Woman, the new movie Wonder Woman 1984, and Gremlins was made in 1984. So we watched Gremlins. I watched it just last night, just to refresh my memory, so that we can tell you whether you should watch Wonder Woman 1984.
So here's a capsule recap of Gremlins for those of you who haven't seen it. Billy Peltzer is a sweet young man in an idyllic American town filled with Christmas cheer and bumbling idiots. Billy receives an adorable, magical creature for Christmas, along with two simple rules to follow for safety. Wear a mask and practice social distancing. The rules are don't get the creature wet, which he promptly does, and don't feed it after midnight, which he also does. In no time, Billy's idyllic town is overrun with malevolent little reptilian monsters who immediately indulge in some of humanity's favorite behaviors: murder, binge drinking, and hilarious racial stereotyping. Together with his new girlfriend, Billy must figure out a way to rescue his town from the gremlin pandemic, which, by the way, originated in China, but thanks to civic irresponsibility, got much, much worse in the United States. Ta-da!
That sums it up. That's good. You know what? I think that makes perfect sense. Gremlins is an hour, how long was it? Hour 40? Hour and 40 minute marketing ploy. Heidi is going to hate it.
Heidi, of course, our listener who feels like we do too much promotion. And you're right. Gremlins was a promotion not just for Gremlins toys, but for everything to do with Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, it was also a product placement palooza. Now, Christopher Columbus, I guess, wrote the screenplay, and the story goes that Steven Spielberg thought it was one of the most creative things he had ever read. That's how the story goes, anyways. I think Spielberg liked the screenplay because there is homage after homage after homage to Spielberg. There's a billboard for a radio disc jockey using an Indiana Jones motif. The gremlins hide among some plush toys in the department store. And one of the plush toys is E.T. Christopher Columbus's Gremlins screenplay was to Steven Spielberg what Bill Barr's unsolicited memo on the authority of the presidency was to Trump.
Yeah. It was. What's the delicate term I'm looking for here? Is it blowjob?
Yeah, I think that is the delicate. I don't know how Spielberg could have thought it was so original. The whole time I was watching, I kept thinking it's the tropiest time of the year. It just had thing after thing that we've seen before. But I'll tell you what we haven't seen before, even in older movies, is snow that doesn't move. There's a scene where there's a scene where he's getting out of a Volkswagen Bug, the hero is, his car, and he slams the door and no snow falls off. It literally
it was like a permasnow. It was like
a Houston woman's hair in the 70s. It just didn't move at all. I think that the part that I hated most, and there's a lot to hate here.
I actually like the movie. I mean, there's a lot to hate, but I like the movie in general.
No, I will never forgive.
Just no. Huh?
I will never forgive the needless romance story woven loosely into the script. It's just the girlfriend. She has no...
Phoebe Cates, played by Phoebe Cates.
I don't know who that is. I think her name in the movie, he called her Milk Toast, I believe. There was no discernible charm to her and no chemistry. Although, come to think of it, there was none for Billy either. They're perfect for each other. The dialogue between the two of them was absolutely painful. So remember the part, Adam, when they're walking home in the fake snow... Among Christmas lights.
Right, that's when he asks her out on a date. He walks her home from school or something, and he asks her out on a date at the end. Yes.
No, it was dark. It wasn't school unless it was adult ed. That's the other thing. You couldn't really figure out.
It might have been. They're not actually school kids. You're right.
Yeah.
They're young adults working.
They're young adults working, but not working very well. He works at the bank, and he brings his fucking dog. You don't bring your dog to the bank. And then we're supposed to feel...
And she's a bartender.
Yeah, she's a bartender, and she brings her lice. You don't bring your lice to the bar? I don't know. There was something about her that I just really didn't like. But for one thing, there was a genre of female lead there for a while that always had some kind of deep, dark secret and angst. And to me, they were just sort of miserable and not fun to watch. So they're walking home. There's Christmas lights and fake snow. And Billy, who is supposedly a young adult, appears to be unfamiliar with the idea of holiday depression.
It's a very happy town.
Whereas Milk Toast is the poster child for holiday depression, she actually says of people who get depressed at the holidays during their conversation, she says, while everyone else is opening up their presents, they're opening up their wrists.
That was dark. I'll give you that.
What holiday song is that from? Is that a Burl Ives hit? I don't know that one. Or Holly Dolly Jolly, holiday favorite? Opening up their wrists. Yeah. Who talks like
that? Have a holly killy Christmas. Yeah. Well, you know, she's depressed with the holidays. You know, there was around this love story some sort of plot involving monsters. We can talk about that or not.
What do you mean a plot? There was a plot involving monsters. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, here's another thing.
There's that lovable Mogwai Gizmo, and he gets wet and he multiplies, and then you've got meaner gizmos basically, and then. They eat chicken after midnight, and they turn into these pod people, these reptiles.
Here's the thing. You can, like, from the very... And I remember when I first saw the film years ago, I did think the Mogwa thing was kind of cute. But I watch it now, and all I can see is the doll that they're going to sell. And I know that Heidi is with me right now. But the other thing is... They keep making it... Throughout the film, they keep making it have a runny nose. And, you know, as a parent, I got to say, the one thing that's not cute about your kid is their runny nose. It's, you know, that sort of glazed donut look is not cute. But apparently, whoever did the puppets had really bad allergies. And so they would just sort of drip onto the puppets. And you would think that little Mogwa gizmo had so much, well, shall we say, drainage. If he gets wet, he reproduces. That's why you find out they weren't supposed to get him wet. As if he gets wet,
right?
He reproduces. So why didn't his runny nose cause other Mogwai to pop up his upper lip?
You know what? That's a reasonably good question.
Yeah,
here's something that you might not have known. Gizmo's voice, Howie Mandel.
Yeah. Yeah, he was born to play him.
Yeah, got to say bright light and things.
Yeah, when you say Gizmo's voice, that was the other weird thing, is they spoke English.
Yeah.
The Magua, which came from China, the father who presents this pet to his young adult son, got it from Chinatown. And, you know, from a place of very authentic Chinese things and an authentic Chinese man. Well, really, he stole it from him.
yeah, he stole it. He stole it from a very kind of suspiciously authentic, and I'm putting authentic in quotes, Chinese man, to the point where he's literally like a Mandarin with a big beard and robes and speaks in a halting Chinese accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just say, he did one. He did more than a. He's been on Kung Fu before, that actor.
I don't think you're wrong about that.
Oh, I know I'm
wrong.
Right,
so
about
in
that.
Any,
yeah, and I so, believe he may have been in MASH as well, because we, well, I'll speak for myself. I cannot tell different Asian backgrounds apart, and apparently there's enough of us that fall into that category that they've been able to get away with this for years. Lord knows what the man's actual heritage is, but. He's played both North Korean, South Korean, and Chinese. So I don't know.
It's a varied career, but you know, at least he's genuinely Asian, as opposed to John Wayne as Genghis Khan.
Oh yeah, yeah. who went on eventually to be Genghis Okan in the movie where he played the Irish guy.
Right. Oh, the quiet one. Yes.
Yeah,
the Genghis quiet O'Khan, guy, the
very
quiet
popular.
Man.
All right. Okay. So the girl, Milquetoast, with the dark story.
Phoebe
so,
Cates.
So at one point, that you know, the town has been ravaged by these reptilian creatures
gremlins.
That Adam described. These gremlins.
Sure.
People have been killed. The Billy's mother has been attacked. The science teacher. This was one of my favorite parts. Billy takes one of the replicated. Mogwai to his science teacher in his high school, his former high school.
That's right.
Like, that guy is going to be able to determine the origins and behaviors of this creature. He's a high school science teacher. You know, the truth is, Adam, you said it was a happy little town. I thought there were all sorts of signs of depression in the town. Financial depression. I think there was a through line there of people, like there was a lot of drinking in that bar and people had proposed to their mates in that bar. There was a sense of, you know, sort of a Pittsburghian, maybe a town that had an industry that had moved away or something. There was a feeling about that.
I guess there's some of that. I mean, and obviously housing prices aren't exactly through the roof in that town, because Billy's dad is an incredibly unsuccessful inventor, and yet they've got a really nice house.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think there's a backstory that they didn't talk, because they kept showing, like, the dad had invented all these things that were not good, and so they were failed, all these appliances that they had in their house that didn't work right. But the dad must have gotten something right, like, years before, you know what I mean? Like, fake vomit,
right.
Something. He must have done something
Post-it
that
notes.
Really took
yeah.
off. And then just could never get it back again, just kept near missing.
He was coasting on that. But you're right, the town was kind of depressive. There was the town drunk was also the town racist. You had some World War II vet who...
well, that was the one they focused on. There may have been more there. The story that got told. But here's what I think. I think all the town's money went into the high school science department, because they must have had a goddamn UC Davis over there. The idea that he would bring this creature to the science teacher, who, by the way, in like the next scene, takes out a syringe to draw blood from the Mogwai. Well, where does he have a blood testing lab in a high school? And where does he get a syringe with a needle in it in a high school? I think he probably got it from some of the students. But
quite possible. Yep.
He had no business having it, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. he eventually got it in the end, as it were.
Yeah,
because he was one of the first victims of once those Mogwais mutate into gremlins. And, you know, by the way, after they mutate are two of my favorite scenes in the movie. There's the mom defending her kitchen, which is genuinely funny. She puts one in a blender. She puts one in the microwave, like that urban legend about the dog in the microwave, and it explodes.
She puts one at him in the way back of the refrigerator, and she finds it months later. But it's kind of limp and it smells bad. Yeah, it's not entirely dead.
And then there's that scene in the bar where Phoebe Cates, who you refer to as Milk Toast, the gremlins are now killing everybody in town that they can. But for some reason, not only are they inhabiting this bar, but she's serving them as though they're regular customers.
Yeah.
I love that. She's
Milk
like
Toast
pouring
didn't
them
do
beer
that.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's trying to keep them happy. You know, she'll do anything for a tip. Yeah, there was that. All right, so after there's been all sorts of, you know, killing and destructive mayhem, and now for some reason they go to the bank. I have no idea why they go to the bank. And again, there's, you know, things are thrown everywhere, glasses broken. These scary, scary gremlins have been there. And Billy's, like, looking around for, I don't know what, some sort of, you know, clues to the mystery. And now is the worst part of the movie, when Milk Toast, the girlfriend.
I know where you're going here.
Milk Toast explains that the reason she hates Christmas. And she's very bitter. She feels that people who hate Christmas should have equal rights to people who don't. She tells the story of how her father went missing when she was younger, and the cops couldn't find him. And then one night, she went to make a fire in the fireplace and noticed a bad smell. And they found her father stuck in the chimney in a Santa suit with a sack full of toys. And that his body was decaying.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
And then she says something about, like, now I have another reason to hate Christmas.
Oh yeah, right. Then now she piles this gremlin experience onto her dad being stupid enough to actually get inside the chimney. He couldn't look down there and see it wasn't going to fit him, let alone a sack of toys. How delusional was he?
Yeah.
It's just not, you know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe around Easter we should do Gremlins 2, because that takes place with an Easter theme. And the girlfriend in that hated Easter because her father had dressed up in a bunny suit and gotten fucked to death by real bunnies. You know how they fuck.
No, like bunnies.
Exactly.
Basically.
Very dangerous in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
What is it you like about the movie again? You tell me.
I just think it's a kind of a fun 80s mix of, you know, grisly humor and kind of Spielberg small town, you know, magical bullshit. I am entertained by a lot of those scenes that you think are stupid. I think they're kind of funny. Like all the gremlins getting blown up in that movie theater, I thought was great. Them and the kind of horrifying thing of that guy, that stripy gremlin. You think you've almost eliminated all the reptilian ones, and that guy and the stripy one runs to the high school and jumps in the swimming pool. I mean, that's great monster movie stuff.
Yeah. It's still, the whole thing was just a tribute to, just before the last, they do finally, they kill all the gremlins, and the last gremlin to die is this evil leader gremlin that they call Stripe. And
because he's a mohawk.
Yeah. And the last thing he says before he dies is, "You sure can make a great film, Mr. Spielberg."
So, Paula, based on your recent viewing of Gremlins, should our listeners go see or stay home and see Wonder Woman 1984?
No, absolutely not. It's a bad omen. The 1984 thing, very bad omen. Yeah. What do you think?
I would. I would say you should stay home, drop down your own chimney, and watch Wonder Woman 1984 when it comes out.
Yeah. Think about how many people
what
you just
killed. What could possibly
go
wrong?
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say stay away from Wonder Woman 1984, and whatever you do, don't watch Gremlins again.
All right. Coming up next, the Burns Hull Report. This week, they cover the North Pole. Their report on Santa's whimsical family home with a backyard full of wonders, including a spacious reindeer barn, a wine collector's paradise, and featuring a live-in staff of merry little creatures who are not gremlins. That's coming up right after this. The Cat of the Week is Fred Astaire from Davis, California. Phyllis Diller sent out Christmas cards that read, "Money's scarce, times are hard, here's your fucking Christmas card." Stay tuned for more Christmas cheer on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Fun fact, no number before 1,000 contains the letter A, but if you say them with an absurd Italian accent, they all do. And we're... Now you get it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay. And we're back. Now, Paula, I'm very excited tonight, and I know you are too, and it's not just because of the pitter-patter of reindeer hooves we're about to hear.
No, I'm very excited. It's the Hull, the Burns Hull, the Hull Burns Report.
The Hull Burns Report. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hull did a group report on Iceland to let us know what goes on in Iceland so we can attract some listeners there. And that report was a runaway success. Listeners keep writing in about it. They never stop. I mean, it's sweeping the nation. So we've decided to create the Burns Hull Report, God help you, Tony, as a continuing feature. And this week they're doing a report on the North Pole.
You know, we've gotten a lot of handwritten letters about the Burns Hull Report as well, I think. But because President Trump put DeJoy in there and he fucked up the mail, they just haven't arrived yet, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of handwritten posted letters about
it. It was
the
a
Burns
runaway
Hull.
Sensation. Absolutely. And it brings back the group reports from school from years gone by, doesn't it, Tony? Bonnie, does it feel like it used to in school when you did group reports?
Well, you know, the whole idea of this group report was me complaining about how stupid it was in high school when you had to do a group report and then one person never carried the weight and another person had to do the whole thing. And then, you know, your grade was determined by the whole group and how frustrating it was. And I just found out my daughter's in college now and they have to do a group report in college. And I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Because first of all, you're in college. How does anybody get together in college when they're all doing different things? But the other thing is, I thought the whole point of a group report, like in high school, was so they got to know each other.
Who I don't think that's what it's for.
No.
In fact, when my son was in maybe middle school, or maybe it was elementary school, I can't remember anymore, he had to do a group report, and he was not a great student. But I got to say, one day, you know, he gets on the phone and he calls the other girls in his group, because I think it was all girls. He calls the other girls in his group and he schedules for them to get together at our house and work on their project. And I was so impressed. I said to him, I go, you know, of everything that you've learned in school, that what you just did there is probably the thing that you will use the most. Scheduling. Coordinating other people's schedules, getting the phone number, right? Being the person sort of pushing the agenda a little bit. These are adult skills that you use in a group report. Whereas, I think so much that I don't think it was so that you could get to know each other when you were in high school. I mean, unless they gave it to you on the first day, Bonnie, when did you do your group report in high school?
You know what? I mean, I don't remember doing a group report in high school because we would have thought that was below us. Like, get together in a group and do a report. Like, we would have been like, that would have been like so stupid.
Wait a minute. Wait, Bonnie, did you go to that school Uppity High?
You know, like, honestly, in Seattle, like, why would we do what they tell? Like, no, we wouldn't do that. We didn't carry umbrellas in Seattle. We thought that was below us.
Well, I think that's below anybody.
But I do want to point out, the lion's share of stuff that you do in your professional life later in life is in groups, including almost all science.
Like, it's like not wearing a name tag at a, like, group thing. Like, I'm above a group report. I'm not doing a group report. I'm not wearing the name tag, so you can see my name.
Well, I used to not like name tags, but I really do now. I used to never want to wear a name tag when I went to something. And now I'm like, you know what? Let me get those name tags. Because I can't remember people. I make my kids wear name tags. I can't remember people's names. Everybody, if we were recording back in the studio together, all of us together, I would insist that you guys all wear name tags. Absolutely.
That's a reasonable request.
You don't think the group report was a dumb, stupid way that the teachers had of trying to get the kids to meet one another?
No.
No.
Not most of them. It was, and you know, Bonnie, I think it's worth pointing out that you're talking about how one kid always ends up doing all the work. On that Iceland report, I mean, Tony Anita Hull did almost all the work.
No, she didn't. Tony.
Bonnie brought her jokes.
See, that's
Bonnie
why you
what?
Need name tags. It's Bonnie.
Bonnie brought jokes, the Icelandic jokes.
No, did we not take a bunch of facts and then go over them and go, okay, you do this, I'll do that. Like, I had things.
Yeah, here's my point, Bonnie. Here's my point. Where did that bunch of facts come from? Did the fact fairy drop them off in your house?
No, I had some, but we already know each other. I didn't have to deal with Peggy Glutz out of the blue, who maybe didn't even speak, didn't even lift a book, was just there going, I'll meet you at 7, but I'm not going to show up.
Peggy Glutz?
Wow. Peggy Glutz was a dick.
Yeah, Peggy Glutz, by the way, I was... you know, I watch the credits to Breaking Bad every night, and Peggy Glutz is an executive producer on Breaking Bad.
That's what I always say. A team player is Peggy Glutz.
Yeah, she worked her way up because she was a line producer on Orange Is the New Black, so. Oh my God! Look her up, Tony. Have you Googled Peggy Glutz yet?
She's Googling her right now.
Of course,
she's
you are.
All over show business. She's amazing.
Wait, let me just ask all of you guys something. Did you ever have a good group report experience? Like you look back and you go, "Oh yeah, that was that was really good. I remember that one."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really,
Tony?
No, I hate group projects. I hate group projects. I agree with the captain on this.
Well, then let's take the two people who hate group projects and have them present their group project to us.
Well, you know, Adam, I think you mischaracterized. I just want to come to Bonnie's defense here. I think you mischaracterized her participation in the Iceland project.
Okay.
Because Tony volunteered this in a private conversation with me that although Bonnie didn't bring a lot of facts or research, she provided the umbrella during the whole Iceland project.
Well, I mean, I guess everybody did their part. I withdraw that. All right, so you ladies who hate your group reports, come give us your report about the North Pole.
Okay, great. Are you ready,
Bonnie? Without further ado, here's Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hall with the whole Burns report.
I just wanted to make sure you're ready.
I'm ready.
I just want to make sure you're ready.
Here. Welcome to our report on the North Pole.
I hate this.
Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hall. And I would now like to turn things over to my partner, Tony Anita Hall.
Oh, that was well done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bonnie. So there are a lot of different North Poles. This is what I feel like we discovered together. So, first of all, I'm going to talk about the geographic North Pole, which is the northernmost point on the planet, and it's where the Earth's axis intersects with its surface. And so its latitude is 90 degrees north, and all lines of longitude meet at the geographic North Pole. And from there, every direction, any direction you turn, you're always going south, which is kind of wild, which makes
sense.
So
if you're standing at the North Pole and you ask somebody how to get somewhere, they can only tell you to head south.
South, yes, which I never thought about.
That would be good for me because I couldn't fuck it up. So all these lines of latitude, is that what you said, the lines of latitude?
All the lines of longitude meet at the North Pole.
My mistake. All the lines of longitude meet at the North Pole. And I assume they laugh at Trump behind his back?
Sure they do.
That's what happens at most global meetings now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Tony, we've got that one. If you put a stick through the planet, the North Pole is the stick through which it rotates, around which it rotates.
Yes, exactly. And because all lines of longitude begin from it, the North Pole has no time zone. Think about that. That's crazy. Yeah.
What do you mean no time zone?
Wow.
So what time is it? I don't see what it means.
So what time is it at the North Pole? And the answer is yes.
Exactly.
Is it yes o'clock?
Correct.
It's yes o'clock at all times.
So meaning there's no time there?
There's no time zone because it's at the that's the top. So like where time is it there?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
I would guess, and this is just a guess, that if you're at the North Pole and you want to know what time it is, I would guess everybody there uses something like Greenwich Mean Time or Eastern Standard Time.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Okay. All right, fine. All right, tell us about the other North Pole.
there's also the magnetic North Pole. Which this I find confusing. And Adam, you might be able, this sounds like something you could explain better than I can. So the magnetic North Pole is not the same as the true North. It's several hundreds of miles south of the geographic North Pole. Earth's iron core movement within its outer part generates a magnetic field. And the magnetic north and south poles are where the field is vertical. So compasses actually point to the magnetic North Pole, not the geographic North Pole.
I think you explained it perfectly. I mean, it's absolutely true. I think it's somewhere in Canadian territory or something. And if you are standing anywhere north of there, your compass is going to point south.
Yes, that is correct.
I think my compass is going to point anywhere I hold it.
Right, because you're talking about the compass that we use in high school geometry, right?
I don't know about you, but I'm in charge of my compass. You got to take charge of your compass. Compass head. remember when Bernie Sanders... compass head. When Bernie Sanders used to call you compass head? Oh my God, I loved that.
So that was my favorite thing about the Bernie Sanders visits to our show. I miss him. I miss being called compass head.
I wish he would come back. I agree. Bernie, do you want to come pay a little visit while we're doing our report?
To, We'll have to. He's busy now. He's got a lot of.
All right, so Tony, there's more North Poles.
Yeah, but I'm going to put a pin in the other North Pole for now, and I'm going to pass it to Bonnie to talk about the weather in the North Pole.
Well, can I just say I really got excited about the North Pole. It was actually my idea to do the North Pole because
it was.
Did you do this a lot on your group projects in school? Did you go, it was my idea to do this?
Take credit.
Because that's not really germane. And then after that, probably a lot of the others didn't want to work with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. And, you know, it's not supposed to be a
particularly...
Yeah,
this was my idea, Peggy Fault, you bitch.
It's not supposed to be a particularly good quality in a person to take credit for things. So
no, that's, I'm sure, what your group... told you.
Yeah, exactly. Let me push them to the back. I'll push Tony to the back. Okay, because I had read somewhere that actually people lived in the North, on the North Pole, but as it turns out, no one lives there. And the reason is that the ice is constantly moving, so it makes it impossible to establish a permanent community. And the people who live the closest by, nearby, are the Inuit people.
Yep. Inuit.
Inuit.
Yeah. Who live in the Arctic regions of Canada, Greenland, and Russia. Okay. So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the weather at the North Pole.
Good.
Okay. Well, here you go. So they only have one sunrise and one sunset every year. The sunrise is in March and the sunset is in September. And there's sunlight all day in the summer, and it's always dark in the winter. The average temperature in the summer is 32, and in the winter, the average temperature is 40 below zero.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's cold.
And even with that, the North Pole is warmer than the South Pole. Do you want to take a guess why?
Oh, North Pole.
It's warmer than the South Pole. Is that what you said?
I'm going to go with ocean currents. I don't know though.
I know why it's no.
Or prevailing winds.
I know why it's warmer in the North Pole than the South Pole, because the person who takes the temperature is mistakenly using a rectal thermometer.
Oh, that's totally possible. And by the way, the idea that Paula's rectal thermometer goes all the way down to negative 40 is a little surprising to me. That's one cold ass.
You know the expression, freezing my ass off? Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah.
That would be that.
You know, the thing about the North Pole that you said, Bonnie, where you said that there was people didn't live up there. You know what's weird about that? Is that Trump is still trying to blow Santa Claus to get a Trump hotel up there. That's the weird thing about that.
Also, we let Bonnie just kind of bypass the you know, just kind of go by the sentence, I had read that people lived at the North Pole.
Well, no, I thought I read that there was a real little town up there, but it turned out I was wrong. Okay.
I think you might have been reading
wrong.
Highlights
That's
magazine.
Okay.
I think it was Highlights magazine, and I think they were talking about the elves, Bonnie. You got to really check your sources. That's so
Absolutely.
Important.
Okay.
So, wait, Bonnie, I do want to know the answer to your trivia question. Yeah, tell us.
Okay, here's why. Because the North Pole is over water and the South Pole is over land.
Oh, the continent of Antarctica makes it colder.
Oh, I see. I thought it was because in the North Pole, they grow candy canes. Bonnie, talk about that. I can't believe you ever read that there were not people there. There are people there. There are little people there.
There was elves.
No.
Christmas town. Well, Bonnie, it's Christmas town.
No, that's... I'm giving my report.
Yeah. All right.
You know what, Paula?
She's going to cry, Paula. Let her finish
science.
Her report.
I'm dealing with real science. Okay. Here's some more information.
Yeah, go
by
ahead,
the way,
give us some more.
I think you and Tony structured this report beautifully.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So
I like the way you've left room for give and take with the listeners. I think that's good.
Okay. You can only travel to the North Pole by sea in June or July.
Yeah.
The rest of the time you have to either get there by helicopter or plane in... Oh, wait a minute. Shit.
This is perfect for Tony, because Tony, you're going there on your cruise, is that right? You're going there on your cruise in December.
I'm getting to that. Yeah.
Well, okay. I do want to insert that you might be using slightly older data, because one of the things that's happening is that more and more you can travel kind of over the polar ice caps all year round thanks to climate change.
Well, that's what I was just going to get to, which is that it was that you could only travel there by sea in June or July, but the prediction now, because of climate change, there's so much ice melting. In fact, what they think is by 2050, the ice is going to be so thin that you'll actually be able to sail right over the North Pole, which is really horrible. And they've lost so much ice cover there that it equals the Mexico, the size of Mexico. That's how much ice they've lost up there.
They've lost a full Mexico of ice up there, is what you're saying.
It's the equivalent to losing a chunk of sea ice bigger than Mexico.
When did Mexico become a standardized form of measurement?
Yeah. And while we're at it, how many more Mexicos of ice are there up there?
I think
you can say you don't know.
Okay. I don't know. I was looking at my figures. It doesn't bode well, okay? That's the bottom line. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That was really informative.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Well, now we have
Bonnie,
to go back to Tony.
This report is fantastic. Back to Tony. Tony?
Well, I'm going to talk about North Pole, Alaska. Because
that's a place?
Alaska has a town. Yep, has a town called North Pole. It's a Christmas-themed town. It has 2,117 people and is actually Republican leaning in the North Pole.
Yeah. Santa wants a recount. That's how bad it's gotten.
Yeah. He wears red.
He does. Oh my gosh. Mind blown.
Fake news. Fake news. Trump won easily. Deep state. Yeah. They've been very naughty. The deep state.
He used to try, Santa used to try to keep politics out of it, but he's just given up on that now. He's all in for the Republicans.
Well, if you think about it, even when you're bad, you get coal in your stocking.
Oh, good point. Yeah, good point.
Yeah,
so he's
you
really
don't get
dependent
clean energy.
On
you don't get a windmill.
No, he's dependent on the coal industry.
Big coal.
Yeah. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if and Santa was on the front lines of the war on Christmas. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the Breyer retires or something from the Supreme Court, if Trump didn't put Santa in on the Supreme Court.
He really could. He really might. And then good luck for those elves ever unionizing.
Yeah, and because no one would be willing to not vote him in when they went to approve of him or not. I mean, who's going to do that? Who wants to go on the record saying, I don't want Santa on the Supreme Court? Yeah.
Senator Booker wrote no on Santa Claus. This year, vote no on Senator Booker.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Tony. I interrupted. I didn't mean
to. That's okay. No. No, please. The show is called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. You should interrupt. Yeah. Chris Christmas-themed streets in North Pole, Alaska include Santa Claus Lane, St. Nicholas Drive, Snowman Lane, and Kris Kringle Drive. Streetlights in the city are decorated in a candy cane motif, and many local businesses have similar decorations.
They must have an astronomical suicide rate.
Oh. What? Wow.
Because I know that I could last maybe a month there.
No, I like the sounds of this.
They have an all-female flat-track roller derby league called the North Pole Babes in Toyland.
I like that. That sounds good. And maybe Milk Toast from Gremlins could join that team, and maybe it would perk her up around the holidays. Maybe she could forget about the smell of her dad's body decomposing in the chimney.
Yeah.
You can keep going, Goni.
This is why I hate group projects. The zip code in North Pole, Alaska is 99705. So they advertise it as the zip code of Santa. And if you send a letter addressed to 1 Santa Claus Lane in North Pole, 99705, you might just get a letter back from the man himself.
Wow.
Wow.
99705. What does that mean? Nothing. It doesn't have a significance, right?
It's a zip code.
All right. Okay. I thought it was like... No, like the zip code in the town I grew up in was 01776. So I thought it had
Of
symbolism. Yeah.
Oh, you guys got lucky. You see, people on the East Coast, you know, when the zip codes were first giving out numbers, I think they had a little more leeway to choose. Once you get out to California where everything starts with a 9, there's a little less choice.
Yeah. Imagine coming from a town where it was 02020. Oh, that was a terrible zip code.
Tony, what else?
I'm good. That's it. That's the end of my portion about, I think, Bonnie, that's the end of our whole report. It's the end.
Well, I think I'm done too.
You ladies didn't really put a lot of thought into your conclusion of this report.
Well, that's not true. You know what? F you. I did.
Whoa!
It ended with Santa's address. It ended with Santa's address. I said, if you send it to this address, you might get a letter back from the man himself. That was the fucking ending, Adam.
Oh, now I've ruined Christmas again.
I've never heard Tony go off like that before. Oh my gosh. Oh, I bet you Tony didn't get a lot of see me's from her teachers.
No. They were terrified.
Okay. I want to say, Bonnie and Tony, the Burns Hull report on the North Pole was fantastic. It far exceeded my expectations. It was informative. I feel like, I can't go to any cocktail parties now because of COVID. And of course, I also don't drink. But I feel like I could make, you know, cocktail party conversation with anybody about the North Pole right now. And if I'm ever on a game show where you win money for answering questions about the North Pole, I'm going to be able to pay my rent, honest to God.
And I want to add, I thought that was just fantastic. It definitely exceeded my expectations, too, which might have been originally somewhat lower than Paula's. But you guys did just a crack-up job on that report. All right, everybody, you can subscribe to this podcast. Just go ahead and do it, because then you'll get things like this in your inbox every week. If you want to enter our theme song contest or send us an email, do that at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Once again, that's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Santa Felber. Special thanks to our house band, Kristen Lejeune. Our show is produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hall. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com to receive an expedited service.
You know, there's so many Christmas movies on this year. Like, they made all these new television Christmas movies. Lifetime Channel, Hallmark Channel, the Bleeding Fucking Heart Channel. And I caught one the other night. It was about where Mary and Joseph accidentally followed the wrong star on that night and ended up at Julia Roberts' house.
Uh-huh. That sounds great.
Yeah, that was the wrong star that they followed.
I get it.
Yeah. It was called Joseph, Why Don't You Just Pull Over? That was the name of that movie. That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me? What?
Oh, Paul.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Paula, do you hear that, Paula? It sounds like sleigh bells.
It does. That's not sleigh bells, Adam. You know what that is?
My
smartphone is set so that when we get an email at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, it dings. And so many people have been responding to the Iceland report that it just sounds like bells all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
No. Every time your email dings, Tony Anita Hall gets her wings.
Adam, Tony Anita Hall is an angel. She is an angel. And so she's already had her wings, Adam Felber.
Well, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Culpepper.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Adam Felber, and to your, and to the Who's in your house, and the Cratchit children, because you're the Bob Cratchit of the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Would you like me to turn the heat up, Adam?
Yes, please. Please, if you don't mind, Mrs. Culpepper.
A podcast network.